ज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्यज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुः उन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरोः श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरुर्वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सह गणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवम् साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादां सह गणलिता श्रीविशाखान्विदांश्च नमाओं विष्णुपादाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनि नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वतीदेवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशकारिणे नमो महावदन्याय कृष्णप्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्णचैतन्यनाम्ने गौरद्विषे नमः हे कृष्णकरुणासिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेशगोपिकान्तशिराधाकान्त नमोऽस्तु ते तप्तकाञ्चनगौराङ्गी श्रीराधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैतगदाधर श्रीवासादिगौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम In chanting of the holy names every day, we find that sometimes even over the years we do not improve our attentiveness in the chanting of the holy name. We have to ask this question to ourselves, why? Why is it so? Like for example, when somebody is a new devotee, we ask him to make a plate of aarti and bring. So there are many things kept in the aarti plate, you know, different paraphernalia items. So sometimes he may bring one conch for blowing, but he may forget to bring the conch for offering water. And you have to tell him, go and bring that. So he goes and brings. Sometimes he forgets to bring the bell or the agarbati or whatever. Sometimes we tell him, okay, go and bring. Imagine somebody has been staying in the temple as a brahmachari for 10 years. And at that time also commits the same mistake. He forgets to bring the conch or forgets to bring the bell. And some people have the tendency of always forgetting successfully. Some or other they will see to it that they forget one item whenever they bring. So I have seen that in our service allotment. Later on we told that this devotee should never be put. He is unreliable. You know? So we removed such devotees from the service. Because we knew that this fellow will, and especially when it comes to question of when Maharaj is coming or somebody is coming, at that time we would make it 100% sure that they will never get opportunity for such services. Because they are expert in forgetfulness. So we cannot put. So one loses the opportunity for service, isn't it? So in the same manner, we might have been inattentive in the early days because we are very new to Krishna consciousness. But over the period of months and years also, our chanting goes on very casually, forgetfully, inattentively, carelessly, neglectfully. It just goes on, somehow we are going on. Like, you know, when you go for a interview, you are certainly not going to sleep. Especially boys, if it is a campus interview. You consider it like life or death. You know? Somehow I have to get through this company. My dream company. So the spiritual world is our ultimate abode, where we want to reach, and holy name is the only link for us to the spiritual world, to Krishna. Golokya Prema Dan Harinam Sankirtan. So in a material interview, we may not go to sleep. You may dress yourself in the smartest way possible. And you may speak in the best language possible. You may try to impress them as much as possible. In order to somehow get the job. There is a question of going and dozing in the interview, saying that I got late night yesterday. I was preparing for the interview. I was preparing so hard that now I am sleeping now. Then, isn't it? So, certainly we are very cautious and careful in presenting at such an interview. So attentiveness is absolutely important if one wants to make progress in chanting of the holy name. Otherwise, don't think things will happen by itself. This is one biggest mistake people do. Anyway, if I just, I am coming for the morning and I am with devotees, somehow something called chanting should go on at that time. Between 5:30 to 7:15, my hand should be touching the bead and I should be muttering something. And it will automatically happen. No, it won't automatically happen. The calling of Krishna has to be done in a certain way. Like as Prabhupada explains, like a child calling for the mother, that kind of calling should be there, and we have to know that we are doing it as an offering, a loving offering to Krishna. Prabhupada was once talking in Toronto about this Bhajatam Preeti Purvakam. That Preeti is very important, it should be done with some kind of love. So Prabhupada writes in the 10th chapter also that one should render some service to Krishna and that service should be performed out of love, he says. So some kind of affection, some kind of appreciation for Krishna, or to call it in full terms, it is love for Krishna. So otherwise the chanting we do as a mechanical robotic exercise, inattentively, neglectfully, will not produce the desired effect of softening the heart and awakening the dormant Krishna consciousness. It will not do. Like you see, a watchman in the night, sometimes, you go next day and ask him. He may tell you that, "Sir, I didn't sleep the whole night. I was awake. And I also took my stick and I went round and round, all around the campus." And then you ask him, but he says, "The only problem is now sumo is missing. Somebody has stolen the sumo." Then what is the use of your keeping awake and going round and round? If some thief has been able to successfully come and steal it and go away. Similarly, sometimes we might have even kept wide awake throughout chanting. We never slept and the eyes are open. And you also you are thinking that I am muttering the mantra also properly. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, I am doing. The only problem is heart is not engaged. Lagan nahi hai, lagan nahi. The lagan is not there. That absorption in the holy name, calling for Krishna, that struggle, the intense struggle and endeavor to remember Krishna's name, that is not there. Although you have been awake, you have been chanting and everything. So, again, that type of attentiveness also is useless. Because it doesn't bring us to the platform of really calling. So when you say calling, we have to know what is the exact meaning of calling. So, we have to evaluate the reason why. Shastras give several reasons. Or why is it so? One reason Shastras give is that we have committed several offenses in the present and past lives, which has diminished our taste for the holy name. So what happens when you offend the holy name again and again? It is like the story of that wolf. You know the wolf story? One boy was calling, "Wolf, wolf!" He would shout and all the village people would take the sticks and tools and everything and come running. "Hey, where is the wolf?" Because he would say, "The wolf is trying to take away my sheep." So they would come and then that boy would give a big laugh and say, no, I was just joking. I wanted to, tease all of you." And the men would get frustrated and they would go back. And he would do the same thing, 2-3 times he did. And they got really frustrated. Then 4th time, one day when he called wolf, then wolf really came. And it was pouncing on the sheep. And he shouted like anything, but none of the village men turned up. Because they said, "This fellow is a cheater. He is dishonest, he is a cheater." So they didn't come at all. He didn't get any response. So he had to suffer. So constantly neglecting the holy name while chanting and doing what one wants to in the mind, by contemplating on one's own material business, material contemplation, and also committing these 10 offenses. Not only the holy name, any process, whether Jnana Yoga or Ashtanga Yoga or Karma Yoga or Bhakti Yoga, they are all considered to be like masters, and we are like the servant. And if we neglect the process and don't perform it properly, it will not produce desired results. Rather, that process will reject us like a master rejecting an unfaithful servant. We will be rejected. Just like sometimes you see a servant is wearing good dress, good clothes, he is having a happy smile, and is having all nice facilities, he's having nice watch, shoes and everything. Tip-top, because master is nourishing him, taking care of him. On the other hand, you find another servant is wearing tattered clothes, dirty, and he has nothing to use. So I understand master has rejected him, or neglected him. So by not faithfully serving the holy name, we become neglected by the holy name. And in this way, we develop a distaste for the holy name. And then we become like a person afflicted by fever. A person with fever cannot taste delicious foods. Similarly, a person afflicted by the offenses against the holy name cannot taste the holy name. And both in the present life and past life, we have done that, offenses against the holy name. And because of which that's why we say, even after knowing so much, we commit the same offenses again and again. So that's one reason Shastras say why we don't have the taste for the chanting of the holy name, although we are chanting for so long. And what is the solution to that? The Shastras say, Nama Jata Paradhanam Tameva Sharanam Prabhu. The only way for, just like we say about the medicine for jaundice, medicine for jaundice is sugarcane juice, whether it is good or not. You have to, whether you like it or not, you accept the sugarcane juice. Ultimately, the disease will be gone and it will become tasty. Similarly, the only way to get rid of the 10 offenses against the holy name is to sincerely struggle to give up the offenses and chant the holy name. There is no other alternative than chanting the holy name. There is no other alternative. You do that alternative and then come back to the holy name. So we have to chant by endeavoring to chant with attention, with absorption, with understanding. Another reason, Shastras say that we haven't performed enough austerities in the devotional service and our mind is soaked in desire for sense gratification. We are not able to taste the holy name. Mind is distracted by the worldly attractions and attachments. So there are many reasons given. One another reason is improper conception of the absolute truth or improper understanding of the absolute truth. That is also one of the strong reasons of why one is not able to appreciate the holy name. So I was only planning to focus on this one small theme now within the limited time. It is said, sadhana sadhya vibrama and also svatattva vibrama, paratattva vibrama. It is said. And then sadhana sadhya vibrama. Vibrama means illusion. Svatattva vibrama means not knowing exactly in truth what is my real identity. Like Mayavadi is a foolish thinking, aham brahmasmi means I am God. That is a svatattva vibrama. Paratattva vibrama means having an illusion about the absolute truth itself. Which means to think that the ultimate truth is only impersonal or the ultimate truth is you can accept any one of the gods you want. These are all paratattva vibrama. And sadhana sadhya vibrama. What is the process by which you can reach the Godhead? There are so many illusions. Like sahajyaism, we were saying yesterday. So many different types of bogus processes. They are all sadhana vibrama. Sadhya vibrama means, again, the sadhana is the Vaidhi Bhakti, Raganuga Bhakti, Bhava Bhakti, Prema Bhakti. And the Sadhya is Prem, Krishna Prem. Not clearly knowing this. And be bewildered about it. All these things come under improper conception of the absolute truth, improper understanding of the absolute truth. So by proper understanding, one can save oneself from so much useless endeavor. For example, in Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna gives a knowledge of his vibhutis. Vibhuti means opulence. So that we may be able to understand him and develop genuine attraction for him. Like he says, he is the source of all the material elements. Bhumi, rapo, anala, vayu, kam, manah, buddhi, revacha, ahankar, etiyamme, bhinna, prakrit, rashada. He says, these eight elements are called the material energy. Bhinna, me, prakrit, rashada. They are all by separate energies. And I am the cause of all these things, Krishna says. And then immediately he says, aparayam, itastu, anyam, prakriti, middhi, me, param. There he says, all the living entities, small and big, whether they are like small, tiny living entities, like the, you know, birds or the beasts and animals and human beings, or great living entities like Brahma or Shiva or Indra, such great personalities, small and big, all living entities, they are also my energy only. They are also my spiritual energy. So just like when you see a drama rehearsal going on, so the drama rehearsal and the costumes, and all the drama actors, all these things, behind them there is a drama director, isn't it? Who makes these things happen. Similarly, you take a home, all the family members living in the home, along with the maintenance of the home, behind that who is there? There is father. Similarly, behind the small and big living entities, and all the ingredients necessary for the maintenance of the universe, behind that there is Krishna. So one is animate, another one is inanimate. The small and big living entities is animate, and the material energies are inanimate. But behind that, chara and achara, there is Lord Krishna. Krishna sa chitara acharam. There is a verse which says about how everything in this universe is actually in the vash of Krishna. Devasa Chandra Nakshatra Kamdisho Burmaho Dadhi Vasudevasya Virena Vidritani Mahatmana Sasurasura Gandharva Sayakshoraga Rakshasam Jagat Vashe Vartatedam Krishnasya Sacharacharam. This is from Vishnu Sahasranam. It says, Sa Sura Asura. Sasurasura means, the Suras means the demigods. Asuras means the demons. Gandharva means the Gandharvas. Sasurasura Gandharva. Sayakshoraga, yakshas, and uragas, means the nagas, patagas, there are many different people like that, rakshasas. Sayakshoraga rakshasam, jagat vashe, means the whole world is in vash. You know the word vash, right? Vash means in control. Jagat vashe, vartatedam, krishna sasa characharam. So this world of chara and achara is under the control of Krishna, it says. So one should see like that. One should be able to see like, Krishna also says that, no, maya adhyakshena prakriti. Or another place he says, sutre mani ganaiva, isn't it? Behind this cosmic creation, I am there, that's why this material creation is existing. So he says in this way, I am the cause of everything. In this way, whether it is material or spiritual. You name it, and Krishna is the cause of everything. This mic has come from Krishna, wall has come from Krishna, bulb has come from Krishna, everything. So then Krishna also says in Bhagavad Gita that he is the essence of everything, the essence in everything. There are many examples given in 7th chapter. I am the taste of water. Now for example, sea water is not tasty, it is saltish. But the original water has a particular taste and we are attracted to that taste only, the original water's taste. And he says that original taste is me, Krishna says. Or like for example, he says, Punyo Gandha Prithivyamcha Tejas Chasmi Vivavasav. He says the Gandha or the Sugandha that is there in the flowers, in the material nature is me. Now if somebody says that what is so great about it, all these flowers, they come from the nature only. But then why there should be differences in smells? See the smell of a rose flower, it is different. See the smell of jasmine, and that is different, isn't it? See the smell of kasturi, that is different. These are all different smells. One gets different type of smells. See the smell of petrol, isn't it? That's different smell. There are different smells. So why there should be different smells? In flowers or any other type of smell, why there should be difference? In fact, if you take a rose seed, you cut it into hundreds of pieces, you will never be able to extract the smell in a rose seed, if you ever try. But you put the rose seed, when it grows, when the plant comes up, then the rose flower has that fragrance, smell. So, we can easily understand the Achintya Shakti that Lord Krishna has invested in the nature to give out these smells through different flowers. So, on that essence, or the smell, is Krishna. He says, I am that smell. Similarly, I am the taste. I am the light of the sun. I am the light of the moon. And also he says, Tejaschasmi vibhavasav. Jivanam sarvabhuteshu tapaschasmi tapasvishu. Bijammam sarvabhutanam vidyipartha sanatanam. I am the seed of all existences. Palam balavatam chaham tejas tejasvinahum. Buddhir buddhimatamasmi. I am the intelligence of the intelligent, strength of the strong, prowess of all men. So, he says that he is the essence of everything. Which means, for example, he is the beauty of all the beautiful objects. For example, a child is attracted to the mother. Like even we all have attraction for our mother and father. A deep kind of attraction we feel for that. But we have to know this attraction what we have is because we have attraction for Krishna originally. The source of all attractions. That's why we are feeling attraction to them. Or a man feeling attraction for a woman. Or parents feeling attraction for the child. Like why a mother is attracted to a small child and his childhood pranks? Because Yashoda is attracted to the childhood pranks of Krishna, who performs such wonderful activities. That's why an average mother in this world is attracted to a child, and the toddler child or a child speaking broken words. Similarly, a boy is attracted to a girl because there is romance in the spiritual world. But you will find in this world that a mother's love for the child is thwarted as the child grows up bigger. She cannot actually continue to give that child. But Mother Yashoda is able to feel the same vatsalya even when the when Krishna is in that Mathura, when he is going. You will see that the love is also thwarted in this world between boy and girl. There is the romance is more sweeter than married life. You can ask people who are married, they can tell you. The romance that exists before marriage is far more sweeter than after you know the person thoroughly in married life. You will see that. Because the romance of this world is also very short-lived. But in the spiritual world, there is eternal romance that goes on unlimitedly like that. It's never thwarted. So, if we see any beauty or anything attracted to the world, it is not coming from a source outside Krishna. Or it has no existence separate from Krishna. This conviction has to come in our heart. The example is given in the Bhagavatam, first canto. Brahma, Lord spoke to Brahma in which he is saying, Rite artham yat pratiyeta na pratiyeta cha atmani tad vidhi atmano mayam yatha abaso yatha atamaha. Very beautiful verse it is. He is saying here that, my dear Brahma, understand that there is nothing separate from me. In one sense, I am everything. Everything is contained within me, he says. But if you find any truth in this world separate from me, understand that to be Maya, he says. What is the meaning of Maya? That which is not. That means it doesn't exist. You are thinking it exists. It has no separate existence, he says. Just like a broken mirror, you take the rays of the sunlight and you reflect it in a dark room. Similarly, the material Maya, material energy, reflects Krishna's beauty in all the living entities differently. In spiritual world, also there is unlimited beauty which is imperishable beauty. But in the material world, there is perishable beauty which is a reflection which the Maya Devi arranges for us to be bewildered. So, unless I am convinced, heart of hearts, that whatever beauty I am seeing in this world is simply a reflection of the beauty of the spiritual world and Krishna. Whatever I am attracted to in this world, any object I'm attracted to, whether for its strength or beauty or rich or anything like that, it's my attraction to Krishna only. But these objects have no separate existence. They are only a shadow. This conviction has to come in the heart. It, not only you have to give a DYS lecture number 5, Substance and Shadow, to other people. You may even give a lecture 100 times, you may never have the conviction about it. You may still be madly attracted towards the illusory objects of the world. So, the conviction has to come. The essence of everything is Krishna only. That is, every object has its essence, and that essence is Krishna. And Krishna also says, He is not only the cause of everything, He is the source of water and the taste of water also. He is the source of sun and the light of sun also. He is the source of all the living entities and the spiritual world and material world. He says, Aham Sarvasya Prabhava Matta Sarvam Pravartate. And all the essential qualities in everyone and everything is Krishna only. He is the cause and essence of everything. And then He also says, I am the best of everything. Adityanam Aham Vishnu. Amongst the Aditya, son of Aditi, I am Lord Vishnu. Rudranam Shankarachasmi. Amongst the Rudras, I am Shankara. And amongst the demigods, I am Indra. Amongst the mountains, I am Mountain Sumeru. Amongst the bodies of water, I am the ocean. Like that, He says many, many things in the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, almost 88 opulences. So, by reading those opulences, you will understand Krishna is the very best of everything. In our lives also, according to the best of our perception, we all consider something to be best, isn't it? And all of us keep commenting about something in the world, oh, this is best, correct? In everything, like in food also, some of you may say, Bendi Sabji is the best, according to Gauranga Prabhu. Gauranga Prabhu likes Bendi Sabji the most. In sweets, Shrikant is the best for some people. Of course, somebody may say, Rasagulla is best. But whatever you consider as best, you can understand that best is Krishna. Whatever best you are saying. Like they say, in Miss India, she gets an award. She is the best beauty in India, at least for only that year. After 2 years, it will change. So, the best, somebody becomes the best for some time in this material world, reflecting a tiny beauty of Krishna's beauty, reflecting in a tiny way. All the objects of the world, they come, they glow for some time and they are gone. That is the way the material world is. Whether it be strength or beauty or intelligence or whatever. Everything will come to pass in the material world. Because originally they exist in Krishna. And temporarily a fraction of them is exhibited by the living entities in Krishna, like a jugunu showing its glow in the night. But when the sun shines in the morning, the glowworm has no beauty. The glowworm's glow, nobody can see. It looks like a green, worm in the morning if you see. But in the night, it's glowing, showing everyone, just look at me, how I am shining. So the sun is like Krishna, and the glowworm is like all of us. So our glory in front of Krishna is practically nothing. Or we can, in other words, we can say, we are reflecting a tiny portion of Krishna's glory or beauty, being His reflections and part and parcels, like that. Because all the light-emitting objects, they get their light from the sun only. Whatever be the object. Similarly, all the opulences that we possess, we get from Krishna only. So we should be able to see philosophically like this, that the very best of everything is Krishna only. If I am seeing something, or if I am tasting something, and I am feeling attraction, that attraction is there in me because that attraction is originally meant for Krishna. So this conviction will come when you read the 7th, 9th and 10th chapters of Bhagavad Gita thoroughly. You have to read over and over again and understand them. And the philosophical conviction is very, very important. Because if you don't have the conviction, you are simply going to be running and chasing after the things of the material world like a foolish animal. The living entities are compared to the foolish animal in this world because they simply chase after the things of the world that are products of three modes of material nature, prakriti, jan, guna. These things can never satisfy us, impossible to satisfy us. Because we are not convinced about this fact. Even after hearing so many lectures and like your Prabhupada says, a first class man is one who hears and accepts, isn't it? Second class man is one who hears it and he wants to experience it. Ramaswamy used to often quote this verse, quote this proverb. Experience is the best teacher, but a fool learns by no other way. That is a second class man. Third class man is a real rascal. Even after experience, he doesn't accept the facts. He has to be repeatedly kicked by Maya, several kicks. Prabhupada says, some people are so rascal, Prabhupada says. Even after getting kick also, you think, oh, this kick is also nice. So, that's why it's narakastopi deham bhai napamam staktum ichati. Just like the Indra pig. Indra, when he became pig, he was living in, he was thinking that situation is nice. They are fourth class, they are not even third class. Third class is thinking, I will try again. Fourth class is thinking, this hell is very nice. So, Jayadeva Swami once said, these rascals would prefer to be king in hell rather than be servant in heaven. He was telling. Just like somebody says, I wouldn't mind becoming a dog and a leader of all dogs in the street. Bow, bow. No, I would rather like to be a dog of, leader of all the dogs rather than, become a servant in the spiritual world. That is the kind of ahankar they have. Ahankar, moodhatma. So, we have to hear. If you are not convinced by hearing, then there is a second level available for experiencing the material world in a regulated way, and then learn about the material world. Actually, we are not, that is why the Varnashrama is arranged. Like there is Brahmacharya, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyas, and then there is also Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. These are all there. Why? Because we have conditionings. We have conditionings in this world. We cannot immediately transcend them. Like for example, you see beauty in a woman, you see beauty in a child, so the family is arranged. But very quickly one should come to the realization that the beauty that I am attracted to is false beauty. The sweetness of the children, that sweetness will be gone. It will not remain for a long time. That's why one is given this 25 years period, between 25 to 50, to get that realization and quickly come back to the original understanding. Krishna is the ultimate beauty. Krishna is the ultimate object of all. And many good devotees come to that realization very easily. Because they are sincere. If they are insincere, even the brahmacharis and sannyasis who join the ashram, they fall down because of not getting this realization. They have to come to the realization that the ultimate resting place is Krishna only. All the opulence of this world, they bank on Krishna, they rest on Krishna. So we have to develop that attraction for Krishna, otherwise we cannot be brahmachari at all. Many of you are Gauranga Sabha here. I am telling you, you can take this fact, if you don't have attraction for Krishna, you cannot be a brahmachari. It is impossible. We have to treat Krishna just like, we feel intimacy with our father. Like there is some kind of intimacy we feel with our father. When we sit with him and we talk to him, with our father and mother, we should feel that kind of intimacy with Radha and Krishna, at least some kind of attraction we should feel. Similarly, we feel some intimacy with our friends. Certainly we have some friends with whom we feel that intimacy. I am very sure every one of you at least has one in this world with whom you feel that intimacy. So you have to know that intimacy you feel with your friend actually comes from Krishna. Krishna is our intimate friend. Krishna is our mother and father, he is our intimate friend. So in our traditional Indian culture, this attraction is presented at a very early age, even in childhood by going to temple. Like I used to sing many songs in Tamil language. Similarly, many of you are from Maharashtra. You may be knowing some songs in Marathi. Some of you may be from North India or South India. So one Maharaj, Bhakti Purushottam Maharaj, was telling me when I met him in Vrindavan. He said, in our childhood I was a much greater bhakta than now, he said. He said, we were so pure-hearted, so innocent. When we would go to the temple to see Krishna, we would feel intimacy with Krishna as if he is our friend only. When we would see Krishna standing, like I used to go to Krishna temple also. I was very fond of one particular Krishna temple in my native place. They would decorate Krishna so beautifully there. Only Krishna, with flute, no Radharani, only Krishna they would decorate. And they would decorate like Vrindavan in the front and everything. So my son friends, we used to go to see, because they would put all this silver jewelry, silver, gold, everything, the body would be glowing, beautiful Pitambar, very, very beautiful. So he was telling, in our childhood we used to go take part in bhajans, take darshan of Krishna, and we had a deep faith about Krishna's pastimes with covered boys and vrajavasis and all that. You know, innocently we had a faith. But as we grew up now, he was telling, now we are, I'm a big Maharaja now, you know, I'm wearing all the saffron, I'm giving big, big lectures. But we become more or less very formal. You know? And he said that kind of innocent attraction we don't have, because we have become, like we say, you know, when you become bigger, we become a little more crooked also, you know. Children are more innocent. Children, you have seen, small children, you know, when they see, hey, wow, hey, look at this, look at that, you know, they're very innocent, children. But when you grow bigger, we become, you know, very more cynical. We always become cynical about things, you know. Why I have to stand in the queue here, you know. Or why that fellow is like this, why this fellow is... We become very morose. Huh? We you know, the kind of attitude we have when we grow up, that innocence is lost. Huh? The childish innocence is lost when we grow up. Huh? And that happens with dealing with Krishna also. Huh? So that's why we should read Krishna book. I stress a lot on this, because regularly reading Krishna book sincerely with faith, with transcendental faith, will help us to get into that spirit of how the devotees of Vrindavan, they love Krishna and how they serve him. On one hand, we should read Krishna book, we should develop the spirit of developing attachment to Krishna. At the same time, we should not fall victim to becoming a sahajya, imagining oneself to have become like the vrajavasis. You know, we are not like Yashoda or like the covered boys or like the covered girls. We know who we are, how fallen we are, and we haven't given up our desire for sense gratification of this world. So we shouldn't imagine ourselves to be one. So there is a very delicate line between the two. But it is very important for us to develop such firm faith in Krishna. Unless that type of faith develops, our chanting always remains mechanical. Like, you know, in the morning you may take the bead back and then you may consider it a big burden. Oh Krishna, I have to chant this. And you are not thinking of Krishna as Krishna at all. It is simply some sound that comes out of our mouth. So mouth is producing some sound. You are not thinking of Krishna at all. You are not thinking of Krishna's sweetness, Krishna's sweet nature. And also it's very important to read Bhagavatam first canto for all of you, especially those of you who are here for this camp now. Anybody who has completed 2 years of chanting 16 rounds, it's high time we should begin reading the first canto of Bhagavatam. The first canto of Bhagavatam gives nectar shower of Krishna's qualities. Like you see how Krishna is leaving Hastinapur, how the devotees deal with him. How Krishna is entering Dwaraka, how Krishna deals with them. And how Krishna deals with Kunti Maharani's prayers. And what kind of prayers Kunti is offering Krishna. How Bhishma is dealing with Krishna. And how Krishna is dealing with the Bhishma. How Krishna is dealing with the Pandavas. So all this is there in the first canto. And it is very important. The coming year we have decided all the Vrinda camps for the next 3 years is going to be from first canto Bhagavatam. Recently I made almost 12 titles I made from first canto, and one senior devotee will be leading the camps. One full camp will be devoted to one section of first canto. That way we will be covering the first canto in the coming 3 years. But you can also read. Yourself also can read. And that will give you a lot of faith in Krishna. And Prabhupada has put his best of himself in the first canto. And Prabhupada said, I didn't know whether I'll be able to complete Bhagavatam, so I gave the first canto thoroughly. Prabhupada said. So it's very important that we develop that type of faith in Krishna. Gradually we have to become inward than outward, just like we say centrifugal and centripetal. So it is said when the centrifugal force turns into centripetal, you all know this, centrifugal, centripetal? Centrifugal means outward, centripetal means inward. When one's consciousness goes from centrifugal to centripetal, then one is fit to take sannyas, it is said. That is the time one can take sannyas. When one is going to take sannyas. But we should at least tend towards that. Which means, we should not be bahirartha maninaha, as it is said in Bhagavatam. What is that verse? Nate vidha swartha katim hi vishnu durashayaye bahirartha maninaha. Bahir artha maninaha. Taking the external objects of this world to be purposeful, valuable. Just like you see the scavengers, you have seen the scavengers in the street, they carry a sack in their hand and they go to the big, you know, dustbin or the place where people put all things. and they'll be digging the stinking dust, you know. They pull out some papers, pull out some things from there and keep, you know, putting it in their bag and carrying it as if it is very valuable. And we do the same thing in the material world, taking things from the material world as if they are very, very valuable and purposeful, useless. And also, we consider it very valuable. Sometimes a dog, you'll find a dog, once I found a dog was having a, what do you call it, this jute, you know, jute, this thing, spool of, you know, thread, you know, jute thread, having a spool, was trying to, you know, trying to tear it and find out what is there in that, you know, spool. So somebody thought it's just cutting it into pieces, biting it. They thought we'll take it and keep it, but he will not allow anyone to come near. As we considered as if it's very valuable. Similarly, the living entity is struggling hard, trying to enjoy the material energy in varieties of ways, thinking this to be the most purposeful thing to do in this world. It's simply a waste of time. So we have to become inward, which means actually the spiritual reality should become a tangible reality for us. Then only the chanting will take its real effect. Otherwise, it's just going. And also, as I was telling, the first half of the talk today, I was speaking on inattentiveness. Remember the example of the watchman, remember the example of the conch shell, forgetting conch shell, and remember the example of the interview. Remember these things. And that type of inattentiveness is there in our system, mainly because we are not, either we are not understanding the philosophy properly, or we are not digesting the truth and developing necessary faith in it. Because some people know the philosophy very well, they know in and out, but they haven't developed enough faith in that. That anchor, according to Bhaksan Saras, this story, that anchor in the bank of the river, that is not pulled out. That's why the boat is not going ahead. The boat is stuck up there. It is not moving ahead. So this is a great curse, that despite hearing over and over again and again, falling back to the petty things of the world and keeping our attraction intact for them and refusing and being stubborn and not ready to take off our anchor, that is the greatest curse. That's one of the main reasons why we don't progress in chanting of the holy name. And also, let alone that anchor which we are unable to take out from the material consciousness, but at least in the chanting of the holy name, we don't pay the due attention. Or we don't have even the strength to cry, then, my dear Lord, I am so inattentive. I have been chanting for so many years, but I have developed no taste for your holy name. I have been chanting for so many years, and every day when I chant, I am so careless. And I am making plan for what, how I will preach and what I will do with this, do with that, what I will do with my material life. And I am completely neglecting and ignoring you. And it is a great surprise that you are letting me be a devotee. It's a great surprise. You never kicked me out of the association. Because even an average gentleman, if you call him, like I call Aman to come here, and he comes and he just turned away, I don't pay attention to him, he'll become angry. He says, why did you call me then? You know? Isn't it? If you call a person and neglect a person. But you have been calling the holy names for so many years and neglecting it practically every day. And the holy name didn't reject us. Still, the holy name is giving us a shelter. So we should consider these facts in the mind. And every day it should be a struggle. I'm not saying that it's going to be like, you know, you're going to be floating in spiritual consciousness, you know, dancing with Krishna in the spiritual world. No, it's a struggle because we are in material consciousness, and we are not able to think of Krishna in a proper way. We are not able to consider Krishna in the way the acharyas are telling us. As our lover or as a child calling for the mother, we don't have that attitude, so we have to struggle. We have to, like myself, I was chanting some days ago. It was a big shock for me because some days it takes 1.5 hours, some days it takes 2 hours. So I was trying to find out why such a difference, half an hour. Then I found out that sometimes I stop the chanting and for a few moments I don't chant at all. I am wide awake, I am not sleeping, but my mind is contemplating on some anxieties. Oh, I have to do this, I have to do that, and this problem has to be sorted out. That fellow told me this problem and I have not attended to it. So for that period of time, I could clearly see that my lips are not chanting, I'm not moving the beads also. Beads are stopped, mouth is stopped, and I'm contemplating. So almost you know, 4-5 minutes goes off in that. Then again you start chanting Hare Krishna. Then it becomes 2 hours 15 minutes or 2.5 hours. Another day, I never gave any gap, continuous chanting. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. 1.5 hours over, chanting is over. So we have to take a survey of our chanting. How am I chanting? Am I sleeping? Am I allowing my mind to wander? Am I giving a gap in chanting? Like one devotee I saw, Amit Prabhu, I saw him, Amarjit Yoga, I saw him. So every round after completing, he was noting down the timing. So this is a sign. This is a sign of sincerity. You are trying to find out. There are various ways devotees show sincerity in our temple also. Some devotees keep one. What do you call it? This stopwatch or what? Counter. Yeah. So every time they move one bit, they move they push the counter also, and then later on they see whether the number of movements are made in the counter and the beads. Because sometimes mala gets over and the counter shows you have chanted only 80 times. Here it's 80, here it is 108. How? That means some beads have slept. So they move both, Hare Krishna, Krishna, they don't leave. So this goes to show they are really determined to control the mind. So we have to endeavor to find out how we are chanting. Like, you know, Gaurasundara Prabhu, in those days used to take video from the window, because he told some of his counselees that you are dozing and chanting and they didn't believe it. And he told me, hey, I'm telling you slept, he said. And they said, no, Prabhuji, probably you must have got a dream in your mind that I slept. I never slept. So what he did, is it like that? Then one day he himself took the video and he stood behind the window. Nobody knew he was having the video. From there he was taking counselees, exactly when he dozes. And then the daytime he called them, just see, now you tell me, are you sleeping or not? So, in fact, Gaurasundara Prabhu mercifully arranged for Sundaranath Prabhu to click my video also when I was chanting. One day Sundaranath was clicking, but he didn't know that I am watching him. That day I didn't sleep even a moment. So Sundaranath Prabhu, he had put this thing, he had put a kind of cloth and a video and he was clicking. Because I had overheard from the devotees that they are going to shoot me the next day. So these are some attempts, these are some ways to, find out how is my chanting going on. But if you don't make any attempts, and assume that, okay, somehow or other, 5:30 to 7:15, we have to fulfill the desire of the authorities by being in the temple hall, Okay, they are telling me to be there, just chant. No, we have to make steps and find out. We can tell our friends, Prabhuji, I have decided to improve the quality of my chanting. So if you find anything wrong with my chanting, please help me, wake me up. So there are devotees who keep photograph of the deities, because certain deities are very attractive, certain pictures. So it really helps to take the darshan of the deities. Certain devotees keep some shlokas. Our Chaitanya Prabhu used to have a small notebook in those days, In each page, one punching sentence will be there. You can tell 2-3 sentences, Chaitanya Prabhu. And also, like you keep this, the holy name is the only medicine for all material diseases. Keep it. And then another page I saw, holy name, the only way, Only way. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Only way. He just keeps punching, Yeah, seeing it helps really, So, very small, short slogans, but very punching and powerful. Especially when you, like one sentence I liked very much, let everything else wait. I read it in one of the books. Let everything else wait. That was hard hitting for me. Actually, that really helped me to put aside the thoughts and chant the holy name nicely. So, all of you may be inspired by different sentences. You could write cards or you could have a notebook, you write. So these are all different ways. Another thing I do is nowadays with, time arising, many of you doing that also with a time, stopwatch to see how much each round takes, time, whether I'm chanting properly or not. Sometimes one round is taking 20 minutes, that means something seriously wrong, So we have to be bent upon improving our chanting. And we have to, So, two things. One is the mechanical things which I am telling now. They have to be improved anyway. We have to work on improving them. But the spiritual part which I told in the middle of the lecture today, Krishna is the cause, the essence and the very best of everything. Krishna is the cause and essence and very best of everything in this world. There is nothing in this world without Krishna. Like in Bhagavatam it is said, no? Mukha bhaguru vadebhya purushasya ashramaisah chatvaro jagnire varna gunair vipradya prutak. He talks about the Virat Purusha. The Virat Purusha, if you see, the sun and moon are considered the eyes of the Lord. And the rivers are considered the navel of the Lord. The earth is considered the soles of his feet. And the trees are considered hairs on his body. The mountains are considered to be the bones on his body. And the Maya's allurements are considered his captivating smile in this world. There are many things said like that about the Virat Purusha. So the whole universe, the material universe also is Krishna. And the living entities are also parts and parcels of Krishna. So there is nothing that, it's not that the material world is consisting of objects which have no sweetness or no taste or no beauty. Every object has some essence in it, and that essence is Krishna. So it's very enlightening to read the 7th, 9th and 10th chapters of Bhagavad Gita. And that way we will be able to see the hand of Krishna in everything in our life. And it is very, very important to see like that. When we see like that, then we will develop attraction for the personality of Krishna over a period of time, the opulence of Krishna. And Krishna says that, Mai asakta manah partha, yogam yunjan madashreya, asamshayam samagramma, yata jnasiti tatshuno. 7th chapter, 1st verse. Krishna says, my dear Arjuna, I am going to tell you from now, how you can develop attachment for me. Yeah, that attachment is very essential. In fact, that is the goal of Krishna consciousness, to develop attachment for Krishna. Some people think Bhagavad Gita is, for jnanis. But here Krishna is talking about asakti, developing asakti for him. So, and then at the end of 10th chapter, you find the Chatushloki appearing. After hearing 7, 8, 9, you develop a firm attachment, you become Krishna's devotee. And then in the 10th chapter, you find Krishna is saying, Machitta, Madgata, Prana, Bodhayanta, Parasparam, Bhajatam, Preeti Purvakam, all that he is saying. So, devotional service has to be performed consciously and with understanding and absorption. Otherwise we will be making simply a big show of our chanting and spiritual life, and we may not be progressing much. I see sometimes devotees, they spend several years, they don't progress in their consciousness at all. They just are stagnant. Some people have serious doubts in Krishna consciousness. They are faithless people. If you are faithless, samshayatma, if you are faithless, you will never make progress. You will be stuck up. You may know the knowledge, but you have no faith. So then you have to work on faith. It's very important. And if you don't have faith, then we should perform unlimited good sanskaras. Devotional activities you should perform. Because by performance of devotional activities, yesham tu antagatam papam janam punya karmana. You will also find if you are faithless, you also are lazy in performing devotional activities. There is a laziness that comes. So we have to perform devotional activities against our mind's tendency for not performing them. So we have to curb that tendency to refuse to perform devotional activities and always want to do something material. So by performing more and more devotional activities, we will become a punyatma. When you become a punyatma, you will also develop shraddha. When that shraddha develops, then that attraction, affection, attachment to Krishna, all those things will develop. When that develops, then the chanting will take gradual better and better effect. Harinam Prabhu ki. Let's offer our humble obeisances and all the Vaishnava devotees of the Lord.